Good morning. I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, the highest name that we could gather under this morning. Before we go on, Brother Laverne, would you pray for me this morning?
Let's stand. Yes, Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have that we could gather here this morning and that we could seek and search and find your ways, Lord. And we would that you would speak to our hearts this day, that you would use Brother John there this morning, that you would guide and direct his thought, his mind, and his words, Lord, that they would be edifying to us and that we could learn of you and that we could grow stronger in a spirit and truth and in love. And we just ask that you would fill him with an unction from upon high this morning, and that you would guide and direct and be with him. And we just bow in reverence and awe and thanksgiving to our holy and almighty God. We just pray this in your most holy, precious, and wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I had to think this morning. I would have had enough ready to go home and let the Lord apply this to my life. I needed what was shared already. I had to think, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. My mind went back to my school years. In art class, that's something that we worked with, was with clay. And I remember we was all given a chunk of clay, and we could make out of it what we wanted to. I remember I made a little creamer for my mom. But as you shape and mold this, it becomes dry. It becomes a little dry. And then you got to add a little water, and then you continue on. And that's how you continue, just shape and mold it, keep adding water, smoothing it out. And I had to think this morning when Paul was sharing this, and then we put it in the oven, and after it come out of the oven, it was done. There was no more shaping and molding. And I had to think of this as Paul shared this morning. You know, the Lord shapes and molds my life. And he can't do it anymore for some reason. What does it take? In that situation, it took a little water. This situation, in my situation, it would take a full surrender to the Lord. And then he can work with me. I just had to think of that this morning. If we are not committed fully to him, he cannot shape and mold us to his image. And I need your prayers in that. So I had to think here what to share here this morning. And I figured, well, you know, the Lord's been trying to help me in areas of my life. And I think I'll just share that. And you can listen. There seems we can rejoice in this because there seems, if he's pointing things out in our lives and we see this and we can work on these things, we can rejoice. I had to think of different people and ministers that have talked with people that was on their deathbeds and they was in their dying minutes. And they still say that the enemy is still trying to get them. So the battle is not over till it's over, in other words, till we leave this earth. I had a neighbor there in Michigan when we lived there in Michigan. And I wish so badly I would have spoke to him before. I knew what kind of a life he was leading. Living, and and he had cancer. So one day I went over and talked to him a couple of days before he died. And I asked him, I said, "Floyd, where are you going after you die? Do you know where you're going?" And he said, he didn't say nothing for quite a while, and he says, "No, John, I don't." And then he started talking about his horses. He was more concerned on his four horses than he was of his own soul. He said, "If you want me to be in heaven with them horses, with my horses, I want you to take care of my horses." That was his biggest concern. It wasn't his soul. It was his things, his horses. So I often wished I'd have went sooner and went oftener. So yesterday morning when I was driving along doing chores, this song, this chorus of this song kept coming back, coming to my mind. And I kept thinking about things and it kept coming back. And so I started thinking on this song. It's a song that we don't sing here much anymore. It was in the black book that we had. It's "How Beautiful to Walk in the Steps of the Savior, Stepping in the Light, Stepping in the Light." And I kept thinking of that. And my mind went back to, I was thinking about these steps, and my mind went back to when I was a boy. My father, he would go hunting a lot, and a lot of times there'd be snow on the ground. And I remember I was in the first grade. I went with him the first time, and I was walking behind her, and I was trying to walk in his tracks, and I couldn't quite reach it. I just couldn't step like he could step. But as time went on, I was able to walk in his tracks. I remember that. I could just walk right in him. So I started thinking about this as my Savior. Am I walking in the Savior's tracks? Am I, since I've been converted, am I growing in grace and knowledge? Am I walking in his tracks? Am I walking in his tracks, or do I just kind of have a set of my own? I had to think back then, I had to think of my past when I was, and instead of, I'm losing my thoughts here again. My problem is a lot of times I get going and I don't even look at my notes, what I got written down. Okay, so I did this for many years. I kind of had my own tracks. I was trying to fight my own battles on my own strength, and it just doesn't work. I could only go for so long, then I'd fall. Then I'd go again, and then I'd fall. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I was want to remind myself this morning that the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. We look to Him. The verse in 1 Peter 5:7 came to me as I was studying for this. It says, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." There's a reason there that He says, "All your cares." I think He's interested in our lives in detail, and I think He means to cast all our things to Him, all our cares, all our burdens, everything that distracts us from a holy life. And right below that, there's a verse that talks about that line about. I got it written down here. I need to. And I wondered why that was right after that. "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." And there's an enemy around us that likes to spoil anything that's good. It says in verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour." And that's his job, and he's good at it, and that's what he does. My mind again went back to school. In school, we had different films. They showed different films on animals. And they showed this animal, the king of the beast. I'll never forget it. They showed this film, and I can still see it to this day. This lion, it was lunchtime for this lion. He was hungry, and he was seeking whom he may devour. And it showed this lion. He said, here it says he's walking about, and that's exactly what he did. He was walking about, and he come into some weeds that was camouflaged, that looked just like him. And he went in them weeds, and he stood there, and he blended in. He was very camouflaged. And he stood there, and he looked around. And the one place didn't suit him quite, so he walketh about, and he found another one that suited him a little better. And there he stood. And the next, he bellowed. He started bellowing. And as he bellowed, he put his head on the ground, and he'd go back and forth like that. And he was bellowing. And it echoed, and it was echoing all over the place. And the animals, then it showed the animals, and they froze right in their tracks. And then he'd bellow again, and then they was looking around, and they couldn't figure it out. They couldn't figure out where it was coming from. It was confusion. And that's what he likes to do, is confuse. And then they all took off. Every one of them. They took off a running. And what they did, the little ones kind of was in the middle, and the bigger ones was in the outside, and they'd run like that. But what do you know? There was one decided he could run on his own. And he veered off. And it didn't take him long. He had him down. And I had to think of that. Here we are as a church. Let's not run on our own. It's going to get us down. It's going to affect us. I had to think. You know, we're a family here, the children of God, and I had to think of the motto: the family that prays together stays together. I can still picture that, where that lion went out, where that one was running on its own, and he captured him. And it just, there's so much in there that you could bring out. Okay, let's turn to, if you want to go with me this morning, let's turn to Psalm 121. I don't know what it says on your title or on top, but this says help from the Lord. On my Bible it says help from the Lord. That's actually a song. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from hence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil, from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. This psalm talks about assurance and hope. He's our protection day and night. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. Isn't that something? You know, I picture this. I picture Him sometimes like an office. He's open 24 hours a day. It's open 7 days a week. And all them minutes that were written down last Sunday, He's open. 24 hours a day. We don't need to make an appointment. We just kneel and pray. There's nobody ahead of us. There's no frustration where there's a whole line of people ahead of us. Let's read 7 and 8 again. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That's precious. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. I had to think about this. And the times we're living in, and all the temptations and the things that are set up in this world, but the Lord shall deliver thee from all evil. There is a way. The Lord has made a way. You know, my mind went to Daniel. There was so much talk to Daniel. The three Hebrew boys that were thrown in the furnace. He made a way for them three boys. Look at that. Just look at the pressure that was there. If you will not kneel down and pray to my 90-foot idol that I built, Nebuchadnezzar said, you'll be thrown in the fiery furnace. When you think about that, what would I have done? Let's pray and let's just pray to our God. You know, you could come up, it'd have been endless that you could have come up with to work around that. But they didn't. They stood their ground. And in verse 17, in Daniel 3, the two verses that stood out to me was 17 and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know how I can't pronounce them. But in verse 17, they was telling the king how things stood in a way. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. That's the faith that they had in God, that they will deliver that out of thy hand, O king. But the next verse, I really like the way they looked at it. But they said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden images which thou hast set up. But if not, you know, we can go through life. These two verses stood out. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. And I really like the way the next verse starts out. It says, but if not, we will not serve the gods or worship the golden images. I don't think that their faith was necessarily weakening, or that they was getting weaker, because they said, if not. Sometimes in life, we hand our battles over to God, but in our hearts, we still think it should go this way or that way. I've been there. We think we hand things over to God, but yet, there's a little John yet left here, and we want it to go this way or that way. The battle isn't ours, but the Lord's. Let's just think of that. See, God sees our life. He sees the big picture. He knows what it's going to take. And if we commit our lives to Him, He can work with us. But it's going to take commitment. It's going to take giving up. I also had to think, this is not the new this morning. I need to be reminded of this. I still struggle with turning everything over to God. For some reason, I think I can still do this much. But it's no good. I had to think of David also. David handled, it's in verse 1 Samuel 17. You know the story. It's nothing new, but it reminded me of David's situation. In verse 37, First Samuel 17, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with ye." And verse 46 and 47. "This day," this is David, "this day will the Lord deliver thee into to my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give it into our hands." David handed the situation that he was facing over to the Lord, and he said, "The battle is not mine, but yours, Lord." I really like the way David looked back when he conquered that bear and that lion. And he looked back over his previous victories that he gave him. And he could look back and he could think of these victories and say, "The Lord that helped me in that situation right there is going to help me in this situation right here." And we can do the same. We can think back over previous victories where the Lord has helped us and redeemed us, and we can look back and we're facing a situation tomorrow morning at work or whenever it is that this comes up, and we can look back and we can say, "Lord, You helped me back in this situation here. And You're so faithful, and You can help me with this one too." It was just a reminder for me. In 2 Peter 2, 9, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust and unto the day of judgment to be punished." And also in Corinthians, I think we just heard this last Sunday, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." That's very good promises there. The Lord it will help us through our battles. The battle is not ours, but the Lord's. Here are a couple couple weeks ago or a month ago, I can't remember, we was up in Fremont, and we stopped in and visited a widow that lost her husband. And I just marveled at her, the way she looked at it. I had to think, you know, she was committed. She committed everything over to the Lord. The vows, I'm sure there's many of them she went through. She totally handed everything over to the Lord. I was very encouraged with just to hear her talk about what happened. She said he had some kind of heart problems, and they was in Arizona. Doctrine in Arizona, and for some reason they brought him back to Grand Rapids, and it was right in the worst of the COVID, and nobody could go up there, and nobody could visit him, and he ended up and he died there, all alone. And she just said over and over how blessed she was with the time they had spent in Arizona together. And it wasn't, the focus wasn't on COVID and how bad it was and all this, but she said how much time they spent together and how blessed she was, and from Grand Rapids they brought his body back, and nobody could view him, so they took him and viewed him from family to family in the church, and just took his body like that for a family at a time. And she said how blessed she was with that. And it just really, I was really encouraged the way she talked. In 2 Chronicles 20, we'll start reading in chapter 20. I got this right. Yeah, we'll read from 20 till we'll read from 1 till 22. I'll just tell you, there's some words here I can hardly pronounce than some of these names. I'm sorry, but it's actually kind of a hard chapter for me to read, but you can pronounce it the right way. But let's start reading here. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they that be in Hazen Tamar, which is Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. And Judea gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judea, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judea and Jerusalem, and in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God, our Father, art thou not the God in heaven, and rulest not over thou over all the kingdom of the heathen? And in the hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and givest to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And thou dwelt therein, have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil come upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, We stand before this house in Thy presence, for Thy name is in this house, and cry out unto Thee in our affliction. Then Thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom Thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how great thy reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou givest us to inherit. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judea stood before the Lord, and their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jazel, the son of Zechariah, and the son of Benaniah, the son of Jezel, the son of Mattaiah, a Levite, and the son of Asbel, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken, ye all Judea, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see ye the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judea and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohites and the children of the Koranites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Kittia. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judea, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in your Lord. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, and so shall you prosper. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambush against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. There's so much in there. The first thing that this thing started looking good, started looking big to Jehoshaphat. And the first thing he said, he feared and set himself to seek the Lord. You know, that is so good for us today. It's so good for me when things start looking big that we set and ourselves to seek the Lord and to see what he has in this, what he has for us in this. When the nation faced was faced with this war, disaster, Jehoshaphat called the people to get serious with God and fast. And Jehoshaphat prayed. There were several things in this prayer that this stood out to me. He committed the situation to God. acknowledging that only God could save the nation. How is it today with me? Do I look at situations, commit everything to God? Do I focus on God's power or my own? He praised God and took comfort in His promises. In verse 13, he said, what a beautiful picture with their eyes on the Lord. I just had to... All Judea stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and children, and their eyes was on the Lord. What power. And when things, in verse 15, when things look big and everything seems to be caving in on you, be not afraid nor dismayed, for the battle is not yours but God's. There's so much in one of them phrases that said something about believing. There's so much in the faith and believing. In verse 20, it said, so shall you prosper. Verse 21, just imagine with me a marching band singing, praise the Lord for His mercy endures forever. And we have the same God as they did. This chapter itself, it should be exciting for us. Just to go through this and to see what He's done there and that we're living under the same God as they had. We got the same God that they did. I had to think of the youth and the children and people growing up here, the youth. As I was getting this message together, you know, when I was your age, I was stuffing these problems inside. Please don't do this. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. The battle is not the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's, not yours. King Jehoshaphat marched a singing army against three attacking nations and won the victory without lifting a sword. Just imagine that. It just more than you can. And how did he do it? By faith and turning it over to the Lord. I was thinking about singing here. And there's times, I don't know how them people felt when they was marching down there, when they was singing to win this battle. But I know there's times when you don't feel like singing. I think that's the times, actually a lot of times you should. I was listening to a message the other day, and it talked about a dad and mom standing in front of a casket with their boy in the casket. And mom was softly singing, lift up your glad voices and triumph on high, for Jesus has risen and man shall not die. It just really struck me that she stood there in front of the casket and sang, softly sang, them words. And I'm sure this is a lot of comfort and healing for her as she went through this, the loss of one of their children. I don't have a lot more. I think I'm gonna close here with the Ephesians. There is about the whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Of His might. Not ours, but His. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wills of the devil. That is what it don't say just partial. It says the whole armor of God to make us strong. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Am I doing all to stand? Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bond, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Sorry, it's a little short. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you as you start your week and continue on your journey.